presence tonight. We do appreciate it. You are an encouragement. I said this morning, you're an encouragement to me. You're an encouragement to each other just by your very presence, and we're glad you're here. And while you're getting settled, take your Bibles and turn back with me to the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3 comes right after Psalms. We talked this morning about Jonah and his directive from God to go and preach to the Ninevites. And we talked about his rebellion and that he went the opposite direction to Tarshish, which is modern-day Spain. I mean, he was going 180 degrees in the opposite direction away from God. That's called rebellion. We're going to deal with that a little bit tonight. But then we further added that we're not a whole lot better. We may not openly rebel against God, but we try to substitute, or we think we've got a better way. We think our way is a little bit better. What is it? I just know God wants me to be happy. And we end up lost and confused and hurt and all of the above. So what do we do? How do I find God's way? Let me qualify that a little bit further. How do I find God's way in a dark day? And folks, it's darker than it's ever been. Would you agree, Matt? I'm not a pessimist by nature. I just don't see how it can get much worse. And then wait till tomorrow. I used to say that in working at the courthouse. I thought I'd seen it all, and then I'd go to work. But as a culture and as a society, as a nation, God help us to get it right. So how do we find God's way in a dark day? Well, I'm glad you asked, because the proverb writer gave us the answer in the long ago. What he said in Proverbs 3 in verse 5, here it is. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not, are you listening? Lean not upon your own understanding. But in all ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. I just love that. And I say again, I can't think of a time in the history of the world when we've needed this more than we need it tonight. I love the story I read a while back about a man at the Memphis airport, Memphis International Airport. And he asked the clerk, how long does it take to fly from Memphis to Dallas? And the clerk said, just a minute. And the fellow said, thanks, and he walked away. Now, that'll hit some of you about noon tomorrow. But that's kind of where we are. We are so enamored in our culture with things taking or things going fast. Did you ever think you would complain that your computer was too slow? And that's where we are as a nation. We're talking and taking pictures and sending videos over a device that we hold in our hand, a device that we hold in our hand that you used to have a device the size of this podium to do, and now you carry it around in your hand. And in the process, about 80% of our marriages end in divorce. We've got a crime rate that's off the scale. We're scared to walk the streets. But we're the most inventive, creative, clever creatures on the planet. But we've lost our way. It's midnight. It's midnight. We've lost our way in a chaotic world. But in spite of the midnight, here's God's promise. God says, for example, in Isaiah 58 and verse 11, the Lord shall guide thee continually. Do you really believe that? You really, do your head like this. Do you really believe that? That the Lord will guide thee continually. I love what the psalmist says further in Psalm 32 and verse 8 when he says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Now, I just got a feeling I'm looking at some folks that had a mama that could do that. Am I right? All she had to do was look at you. Maybe it was your grandmother. Maybe it was your daddy. All they had to do was look at you and guide you with thine eye. Folks, my dad had been preaching in Huntsville, Alabama for 45 years. And in that 45 years, he became well acquainted with the space program. He had engineers that at Mayfair that helped put the space shuttle into space. And he talked about their guidance. I heard one of his elders, talked about the guidance system that they're capable of developing. And I say again, I can't think of a time in the history of the world when we haven't needed that as human beings. We need a guidance system. You know why? Because Paul said in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, we are his workmanship. Watch it now. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You ever wondered why you're here? There it is. God made you. God put you on this planet. God put you in this town, according to Ephesians verse 10. He created us in Christ Jesus unto good works. And it was just not some fly-by-night thought on the part of God either, because the very next phrase, Paul says, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See, God has always had a plan for you. That's not the issue. That never has been the issue. The psalmist said this in Psalm 37 and verse 23. Verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. All right, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that to find and do God's will is the greatest achievement of any person on the planet. Are you listening? To find God's will and to do God's will is the greatest achievement of any. I've said repeatedly, I love that song, The Old Rugged Cross, because it said, till my trophies at last I lay down. And I can take you downstairs to my office. I can show you my trophies. They're diplomas that hang on that wall. But I have to be reminded, you have to be reminded, we have to be reminded that our greatest achievement is not spelled M-O-N-E-Y. That's not the way you spell success. And I say again, I can't think of a time when our kids need to hear this any more than they do tonight. It's not the definition of success. It never has been. It's realizing what the will of God is. That's where it starts. Now, where are you going to learn that? You're not going to learn that out there on the street. You certainly aren't going to learn it in our schools anymore. And then tragically, you're not going to learn it at home. You're not going to learn it in the businesses. Where are you going to learn what God wants for your life? And when you learn that, where are you going to learn what God expects you to do with it? General Lee said that the word duty is the most sublime word in the English language. So what's our duty? Our duty is to know the will of God and to do the will of God. And I wish our kids could learn that the most exciting thrill in this life is finding the will of God and following that will and finishing it. finishing the work. I love the passage that says, I have finished the work you gave me to do, O Lord. And that's why my Jesus on that cross, after he had said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And son, take care of your mother. And mother, take care of your son. And I thirst. What's the last thing he said? You know it and I know it. It is finished. What's finished? Accomplishing God's will on this earth was finished as far as he was concerned. And that's why when you and I come to the end of our life and we stand before the judgment bar of God, we long to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful churchgoer. Is that what your Bible says? If that's what your Bible says, Matt, you need a new Bible, right, brother? Well done, thou good and faithful. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. Why? Because a servant has learned what the will of God is through this book. We're going to talk about that in a second. And he has implemented it, and God has directed his life. And I submit to you tonight, if you will just let God direct your life, then one of these days you can say, it's finished. One of these days you can say, enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. So what does this book give me that enables me to accomplish all of this? Well, see, there's the issue. It's not a matter of me accomplishing it. It's a matter of taking advantage of what Jesus accomplish. How then do you let God direct your life? Well, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, we're in Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. How do I go about renewing my mind? Well, that's back in Proverbs 3. And it starts with a phrase that I heard another fellow put together, and I latched on to it because I just love this phrase. And that's the phrase, trusting confidence. Look at those two words and put them together with me. Trusting confidence. Confidence. The proverb writer said, trust in the Lord. And it's not as if God said, I've got a backup plan, or I've got another scheme, or I've got another philosophy, or I've got another program. No, 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 no. When you say and understand, I'm trusting in the Lord, I'm trusting in that one way. One and only. Jesus said, and all of you know it from memory in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Listen to the rest of it. No man comes unto the Father but by me. But dear friends, we're living in a world where there's a new schism, or there's a new ism coming down the pike every day. And tragically, I studied this in law school. So many of these quote-unquote religions and cults and things of this nature, they can have some of the most weird, complicated demands of their followers, and they still get tax-exempt status, your tax dollars at work. And how sad it is that the world, the confused world out there, looks at us and puts us in the same boat. And puts us in the same arena with them. And we struggle with that. All right, preacher, how do I overcome? How do I get that trusting confidence? Well, you lean on the Lord, not your own understanding. Now hold on for just a second. When I say trust in the Lord, I don't mean just verbiage, because talk is cheap. But how many of us have found it difficult to trust Him and lean on Him? How many of us have found it difficult to really put our confidence in Him? And the answer is, you cannot put your confidence in somebody you do not love. What if a stranger comes up to you and says, will you do something for me? First question out of your mouth is, what is it? What is it? Why? Because you don't know them. But if, as happened to me recently, that phone rings and a certain granddaughter says, hey, Pop, will you come to Huntsville and see me? I can be there by 8 o'clock. Now, what's the difference? It's a matter of knowing and loving that person. It's a matter of trust. Because of that relationship that you have, it's because you love that granddaughter, it's because you trust. Wait a minute. Some of us aren't there yet with God. Are you listening? Some of us are not there with God. We're here, we attend, we give, we partake of communion, we give Him some lip service, but we still don't have that trusting confidence that we need. We're not growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And somebody says, oh, but wait a minute, preacher. I think I love the Lord. I think I have that. If you did, if you had that kind of trusting confidence, you'd love what He commanded you to do. You would love sharing the gospel with other people. You would love attending faithfully services of the church. You would love serving your brethren. We just had a marvelous meeting among the men where we and elders and deacons, and talking about how can we be more effective in serving our community, in living up to what that we talked about, fixing that electronic sign, and that's important, but I'm going to tell you what's more important is living up to the name on the sign. Amen, church. See, that I'm all for the sign, don't misunderstand, but I'm more concerned about us accurately portraying the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. And it starts with you, and it starts with me and everybody in this room having a trusting confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, in what He has done for me, because I wasn't capable of doing that for myself. One writer put it this way. He said, to know Him is to love Him. To love Him is to trust Him. To trust Him is to obey Him. And to obey Him is to be blessed. And when you go back to verse 5 in the Proverb letter, you see that it's exactly where he was going in the long ago. When he said, trust in the Lord and lean not upon your own understanding. I want to be crystal clear about this tonight. The Bible does not lead us to just believe blindly without any understanding. That's not it. He never called upon us to do that. Because all through Scripture, and that's why it's so important that we be students of the Old Testament, all through the Scriptures, He was crystal clear. And right here in Proverbs 3 and verse 7, He throws this little caveat at us. And be not wise in thine own eyes. He qualifies that a little bit later in Proverbs 14. And in verse 12, when he says there is a way that seemeth right. There's a way that seems to be right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The end thereof. It seems right. It looks good on the outside, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I'm aware of the fact, I say again, that we live in a very highly educated technological world in which we call on experts. We even had expert witnesses in the courtroom. They and they alone are entitled to give an opinion about certain things. The individual cannot. But we look to doctors. We look to bankers and those in the financial industry because we realize that that's out of our league. That we even, believe it or not, God forbid, look at lawyers. And that's the reason they are referred to oftentimes as a counselor, because they are legally liable for the advice that they give. And tragically, in the midst of all of this, we think we got it all figured out. And the proverb writer says the way thereof is death. Here's what Jeremiah says. Oh, Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 10, verse 23, it's not in man. Are you listening? It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You just can't do it on your own. You don't have all the, I don't have all the, I don't have, a, we don't have all the solutions. And that's why we've got to get back to this book. The proverb writer again, Proverbs 2, beginning in verse 2. So that thou incline thine ear to wisdom. Ooh. You ever told your kids, hey, pay attention. You ever do that, Matt? How many times a day? Six, eight? A bunch. There you go. Guess what? God does that with me and you too, doesn't he, brother? And that's why he says, you incline your ear to wisdom. Well, can I go to college and get a degree in wisdom? Now, James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. There it is. And so the proverb writer again, incline thine ear unto wisdom. Apply thine heart to understanding. And I love the next part. He says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of God and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So what I don't know can hurt me, but what I do know can help me. And he has given me the ability through this book to have that kind of trusting confidence. Now then, secondly, and closely akin to it, following the trusting confidence, then comes total commitment. See, take TC with you all week. Start with trusting confidence, and then you're ready for total commitment, because the psalm or the proverb writer says in Proverbs 3 and verse 6, in all thy ways. He didn't say in some of the ways. He didn't say in some of the ways that make it convenient for me. He didn't say in some of the ways with which I agree or that make me happy. He said, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Let me put it to you this way. We need to sign a blank check. And I know we don't write as many checks in this day as we used to. But we need to sign a blank check and give it to God. And in essence say, and we studied these in law school, this is a contract. I'm making a contract with you, Lord. and I'm filling out a blank check, you fill out the amount. Because when you do that, after that total commitment, then here it is. There's going to be a thrilling consequence. There's going to be a thrilling consequence. And you know what it is? He says so in Proverbs 3, the latter part of verse 6, and he shall direct thy paths. No doubt about it. God is going to direct your, there's going to be a divine direction. And far too many of us are waiting for God to whisper in our ear, and it doesn't work that way. The Bible says, first of all, that he's going to speak to us through his word. In Psalm 119 and verse 105, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. Paul told Timothy that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable for doctrine. Well, you mean that's not up to me? No, you do not. I do not. We do not have that option on how to write what our doctrine is. It's in the word. It's profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I love this next part. That the man of God might be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. These youngins about to start back to school. And I remember, I hate to say this, now 40 years ago, when my boys were beginning to start school, we got a list from the great people at the school of materials that they needed. These kinds of pencils. They used to write with pencils back then. And pads and these, okay. And I remember one of the worst days of my life. And that is sending my firstborn off to school that first day. And that little six-year-old looked at me with those brown eyes. And he said, Daddy, do I have everything? Do I have everything? And I said, yeah, baby, you've got everything. Guess what? There's a God in heaven at this very hour that looks at you. And he says the same thing. You've got everything. I hadn't left anything out. You've got everything. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete. Thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So how am I supposed to know God's way in a dark day? You better start with the word. Secondly, following up with the word is providence. And you know me well enough to know that I absolutely love that word that God provideos. He sees ahead of time. And if you and I will humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, he will lift you up. When I think of the providence of God, I think of what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. And as he's beginning his travels, what we call his missionary journeys. And he says, there is a great and effectual door that is open to me with many adversaries. Now, as we leave this place tonight and go out into a world that doesn't love you and doesn't love God and cares little about either, there's a great and effectual door that's open to all of us. But there are many adversaries. So how do I find God's way? I start with his word, and then I lean on his providence. And then I lean on his people. See, that's why God puts you in a family. That's why you're in this church. Because we collectively are there to help other people, or each other, as we then reach out to other people. So how are you supposed to know the will of God through your life? In one sense, it's a road map, sure, but it's more than that. It's a relationship. And it's within that relationship. What did the Bible say? In all thy ways acknowledge him. I'm glad that God isn't so specific and say, all right, now Gary, this is specifically what, now you're going to do that. And in 10 years from now, that's not the way it works. He understands that we're worried about tomorrow, and we shouldn't be, because he's told us in his word how it is we are to follow him. We're worried about our kids. We're worried about our grandchildren. Let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to his word. And let's go back to planting that word in the hearts and minds of men and women and boys and girls. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not upon your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I came across a poem years and years ago where a poet put it this way: I may not always know the way wherein God leads my feet, but this I know, that round my path his love and wisdom meet. And so I rest content to know that he guides my feet wherever they go. And I hope tonight that as you leave this building and head home and face a busy week, you'll understand, first of all, God's way in a dark day, you better be in the Word. God's way in a dark day, you better know the providence of God. God's way in a dark day, you better know God's people. And that's why we beg people to become Christians. That's why if you've never been baptized in water for the remission of sins, we hope to baptize you tonight. That if you're hurting and you're struggling, you need the prayers of this church. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Right now, won't you come? Matt will lead us.